Well, good evening. Good to see all of you in church tonight. I'll read you this thank you note from the Mickeys, dear Pastor Starr and Mount Zion Baptist Church. We enjoyed our time with you all last week. It was a blessing reconnecting with your church family. Thank you for your faithful prayer and financial support over many years. We appreciate your provision, the accommodations to stay, love offering, items from the missions closet. We're all a great blessing. Thank you, Robert and Wendy Mickey. Of course, you heard from them 2 weeks ago. You got to hear from the Gilmores on Sunday night. And we are, believe it or not, about 6-7 weeks away from Missions Conference coming up. And excited about those that are coming. You'll hear more about that in the coming weeks. We do want to pass around the Bless the Harvest list tonight if you're planning to stay for that lunch on Sunday, September the 29th. And then behind that sign up, we're asking for some specific things to be made. So Lisa Dirks is helping plan the meal. But with that, there's some side items that we need families to bring for that. If you would sign up for coming and then sign up for those side items, I know it would be a help to her as she puts those plans into motion. And we appreciate all those that help behind the scenes with our meals and different things that are going on. And Lisa's one of those ladies that works on that. We also want to remind you of the Shepherd's Retreat coming up on the 24th. A number of pastors this year. There's still a few places open for sponsorships if you would like to sponsor a pastor and his wife. We have Brother Tom Brennan coming in. He's a pastor out of Dubuque, Iowa, and a very good writer. But I believe that he will be a help to the pastors. Him and his wife will be speaking. And then you'll get a chance to hear him speak on the Wednesday night after Shepherd's Retreat. But it is a chance for us to be able to lift the arms of the pastors. And I'm just reminded of doing good to those, especially of the household of faith. And if you go back to the spring, we were able to minister to 16 pastors and their wives over in the Philippines. And I believe there's around 35 that are signed up for this. That means between the two retreats, we will have been able to be a blessing and encouragement to 50 pastors and their wives. And I think that's a very noble ministry and a good opportunity to serve the men and women that God is using in the ministry. And so be reminded about that. Adam Dombeck got a testimony tonight. Do you have a testimony tonight? No. All right. I thought he did. I was giving him an opportunity there. So maybe in a couple weeks. All right, maybe in a couple weeks. All right. Stand with me tonight. We'll bow for a word of prayer. I'll give you some updates on some of the people needs that we're dealing with in the church as we get into prayer request time. But let's bow for a word of prayer tonight. Brother Joe Heidler, would you lead us into the throne? Amen. Take your songbooks. Let's worship the Lord from our hearts tonight.
Number 9. Hymn number 9, Holy, Holy, Holy. We'll sing the first and fourth verses. Thank you. seated.
We now have a special.
Jesus laid down his life to die for me. When I was lost in sin's dark night, though I did not deserve this gift so free, each child is special in his sight. I'm special to Jesus, there's no one else like me. I wouldn't trade places with anyone else. I'm special, you see. God has prepared a task he wants me to do. I'm special to my Lord. I'm special to my Lord. Places with anyone else. I'm special, you see. God has prepared a task he wants me to do. I'm special to my Lord. I'm special to my Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. By way of announcement tonight, you do have your printed announcement sheet, so please refer to those. Just keep in mind our next Light on Purpose is Saturday the 21st of this month, and so at the normal time down in the annex. And just so you know, if you see, I don't know if the van's still down there, but we had new flooring put in the prophet's chamber today, and so I don't know, they may still be working down there, but so we're getting that done. But Light on Purpose down in the annex Saturday, September 21st. Then also tomorrow starts the Heart Ministry, and so those of you involved in that, I believe you know the time that it starts, the time that you need to be here, so please remember that. And then remember the sign-ups that we have in the four-year notebook. We've got, of course, the heart sign up. Well, I think that's gone by now. But the Shepherd's Retreat, as Pastor mentioned, we do actually have 36, I think we counted today. So a large number of pastors coming and their wives. And so if you prayerfully consider sponsoring a couple, it's $50 a couple, and in the four-year notebook. And I would ask that in sponsoring a couple, that you put the money in a green envelope, mark it with that couple's name, and then also write them a note of encouragement, a card, a note, and put it in my mailbox, and we'll make sure they get it there at the Shepherd's Retreat. And then the Bless a Harvest Sunday is coming, and that sign-up sheet is going around, and we do need you to sign up because we do have some food to order and planning to do for that. And so, of course, really, we want it to be a blessing to the local farmers, and we're really going to target them personally with invitations on Saturday the 21st, but you'll be inviting them anyways. If you know of a farmer, you got a neighbor, a friend, or whatnot, you'll be inviting them now. We do have flyers at the usher station for that. And then there's a sign-up sheet for the homeschool field trip, which is coming up on Saturday, the 28th of this month. And so please be aware of those things. If you have any questions on that field trip, you can see Pastor Jared. And then, by way of Missions Minute, Joel Haynes, just reading his letters, I think I've mentioned this before, reading his letters makes you tired. And they've got a lot going on, but they got the right focus going on out there. And he talks about they had an opportunity. They went to several places. They went to a place at the edge of their reservation. Basically, the letter sums up that they are really getting a burden. It's exactly what Robert Mickey preached, what Pastor Gilmore preached, getting the locals to reach locals. And they're doing that on the reservation, and they're reaching out. And he tells about all this. There's too much to say, but you got to read this letter. And he says that he changed the address in the farewell address in their prayer letters from spreading the light in Navajo land to spreading the light from Navajo land. So they have gone out to other Navajo nations. One of these or other places on the reservation, part of this is that they went to a fair with a bunch of people and a bunch of other churches. And he said, while at the parade of this fair, the Navajo Nation president, he gives the name, I can't pronounce it, stopped by and asked about our church over the public address system. One of our ladies gave him a gospel tract, and one of our men was able to proclaim in the microphone, "We're from Stronghold Baptist Church in Pinyon, and we want everyone to know that Jesus saves." And this aired on the president's Facebook live feed for thousands of others to hear. And so just a little praise there, but actually a big praise. And so he talks about that. There was a Navajo Land Baptist revival they had. They had groups come from Texas, Florida, and other states, and many reservation churches. They saw 9 souls saved. 4 young men surrendered to preach during the course of this meeting. Just a lot going on. And then at the end of the letter is talking about some of the projects going on there, updating you on that, and then pray for an upcoming missions trip to a place that we just ought not mention on public airwaves. And they've got a missions trip planned there with Navajo people. And so that's exciting to see that. Just burden to reach out to the lost from that church. And so pray for the Joel Haynes family and that church there. All right, take your songbooks. We'll sing.
529, hymn number 529. We'll sing all 3 verses.
By day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto the pledge to me. to take it from a Father's hand. One by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land.
Go ahead and take your prayer bulletins out. It's good to have Swyler and Angie and Wyatt. I believe Austin's downstairs. Good to see them again tonight here in our service. Also want to have you highlight Gina Fry in prayer tonight. Gina is dealing with a number of difficult things over in Africa. One of the things that she shared with me is they're down to about 3 hours of electric a day. And so if you can picture going 20 hours a day without electricity, that is what they're experiencing. Addition to that, if you've kept track of her on a social media page, she has busted the window of her vehicle in an accident, and they cannot find the part in the country. And it is really, really hindering her labors there. And so if you would remember that, some other things that she's dealing with. I know she would appreciate your prayers, and we need to keep Gina in front of us and on in our intercessory prayer. And so want to remind you of that. Give you these updates tonight, and then we'll take some praises. And one is we're remembering Carol Beaverson. Carol is still recovering from her wrist surgery. She is here tonight, but continue to remember Carol in your prayers. Brother Skip is still sick. Connie Collins has her fourth chemo treatment today, and usually after that she's very, very weak. And then we're praying for Kathy Fainis, who's here tonight but still dealing with some pain and some recovery. Remember Kathy in your prayers. I did talk to Petra Merriman. She found out through her CAT scan that she's dealing with a lung issue and needs to be able to get to a pulmonary doctor scheduled in October. Remember Petra. I know she would appreciate your prayers tonight. And then Emily Slutz, recovering from surgery. And then we continue to pray for Edna. Edna's here, but we continue to pray for Edna Waldemeyer and the physical needs that she has had in the last number of weeks. And also Cindy Wright, who's recovering from surgery and then waiting on the results. She's here tonight. It's good to have her in service. Strong enough to be in service. I'm not sure I would be in service less than a week after surgery, but thank the Lord she's here. But pray for those results coming back, and also just a renewal of strength in her body. And then Karen Mink is sick as well. If I didn't mention that, remember her in prayer. So those are just some folks that we are praying for. And there is some sickness that seems to be circulating. So it's a good reminder, wash your hands. Use cleaning lotion, anything to help one another that we don't pass germs around to church. It's a good reminder on that this time of year. If you have a testimony tonight, you want to give God praise. I was reading in Psalm 92 this morning in my devotions, and basically the Bible was saying in the beginning of that chapter that day and night we are to be singing and praising and showing forth God's loving kindness and his faithfulness. That is our responsibility as believers. It's also a delight to be able to do that. And the psalmist says, I will do that. I will triumph over his works. So praise, singing praise, testifying, rejoicing is a choice that we make. And it's a good choice amongst the brethren in the congregation to be able to lift God up to others. So we want to do that tonight in this part of our service. If you have a praise or a testimony of thanksgiving, let's begin with those tonight before we take prayer requests. Brother Butch in the back. Amen. 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 Of course, that's somewhat tied to Paul, but Butch get an opportunity to witness to his landlord. That's Lowell Anderson. Lowell Anderson. Remember him in prayer tonight. Somebody else with a praise or testimony. Brother Keith, go ahead.
I'd like to praise God for one about teaching me your law or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And so it just popped in my mind. I was struggling with this one verse, and I knew it was kind of important, but I didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. So in prayer on Saturday night, I prayed, Lord, just teach me whatever it means because I don't understand, but I want to know. And about 2 weeks later, this past Monday, I've been waiting and waiting and just kept praying. I'm trusting and waiting to understand this verse. And about Monday, I was talking to Brother Christ, and he was talking, and we were bouncing ideas, and then it just kind of, a revelation came of what the verse meant. Mm-hmm. It was God's answer to prayer.
Yep. Amen. The Holy Spirit's a teacher, isn't he? He illuminates us. He gives us understanding of the scriptures. And Keith, wonderful testimony of that tonight. Amen. Somebody else with a testimony. Brother Steve in the back. Amen. Good testimony of God's help in a new vein of responsibility and task. And I was praying for Steve there that week, this week, and I was praying he is a light to those students and that people could see Christ in your life, Steve, and hear Christ. And so praise the Lord for that good testimony. Somebody else with a testimony tonight in the back. I cannot see. Who is that? Sandy? Go ahead. Amen. 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 Neighbor free of cancer that we prayed for a number of months ago, and God has worked in his body. Praise the Lord. Somebody else tonight with a testimony. Cindy, go ahead. Amen. Amen. And wonderful to have you back, Cindy. Wonderful to have you back. Somebody else tonight with a testimony. Anybody else? Carol, go ahead. Amen. 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 God gave her a verse to before the trial happened that she would be able to grasp onto it. And that principle of taking ownership of your trial years ago, I believe my wife shared with somebody,
the verse that where the psalmist said, "This is my infirmity." In other words, I'm owning this. This is what God has for me right now in my life. And appreciate that perspective tonight from Carol. Somebody else with a testimony tonight you'd like to share? A good word of testimony? Anybody with something like that? Brother Jim in the back. Yep. If you look for joy, you can find it. That's a good encouragement tonight. Somebody else with a testimony? Mom? My mother had one unspoken request answered this week. Amen. Somebody over here. Mark? Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord for those who made a sacrifice on 9/11 to preserve other lives, and then the ultimate sacrifice of Christ, who made a sacrifice to preserve past, present, and future people. And so, good testimony, Mark, tonight. Thank you. Somebody else? Anybody else with testimony tonight? These are good, aren't they? Hope you're recording them. Grace? Amen. Amen. So some lady, Jocelyn, they got assurance of her salvation with Connie and Grace visiting, and now she wants to have Bible study. And praise the Lord for that opportunity and that desire. All right. Anybody else with a praise tonight? Let's go to unspoken requests then. Raise your hand if you have an unspoken request. We'll pray over these requests tonight as we go to prayer. All right, you may put your hands down tonight. I would like you to also, I know I mentioned Gina. I would also like to mention Angela Borntrager tonight for prayer. We believe that she'll have the child probably on Friday. So we're praying for a safe delivery for Angela. And then Aaron is right around the corner from that. Not scheduled, but it could happen anytime. And we're praying for that. And then Sarah's about a month later, but Sarah Mulrooney as well. Pray for these three ladies as we're getting very close to delivery dates and exciting times for these families. But we're praying for healthy mothers and babies, as you well know, as we pray for them. And so I wanted to remind you of those requests tonight. And then I thought there was one more. Just let me double check. I guess not. We'll take other prayer requests before we go to prayer now. A quick request that you may have that you want people to remember. Sean in the back. Okay. Sean Heim has one special unspoken tonight. Remember that. All right. Somebody else. Anybody else with a prayer request? But Steve? All right. Of course, you know that Steve's daughter has been before a judge for Social Security benefits, and they're waiting to hear what the verdict is on that. So please continue to remember that tonight. All right. Brother Bobby? All right, these are Bobby's injections into his back this coming Friday, and we're praying that they would have an effect on him, that he would not have to have surgery, which is probably the next step moving forward. So please remember that tonight as well. Somebody else, Brother Jim? Okay, Nancy joins us by way of live stream. Nancy Goodman, this is Jim's sister, but please pray for her physical needs tonight that she's bearing in her body. All right, somebody else. Esther? Okay, three requests tonight from Esther. One is the special situation that she's working with in with a discipleship opportunity and just wisdom in that situation and that relationship. And then burden for her K-4 class at school that she would have gospel opportunities to witness. And then the teacher that she's working with has been sick since the beginning of school. So please pray for healing in her body. And that she'd be freer and have more energy to do what she's doing with the children. Anybody else tonight with a prayer request? Carol, go ahead. I can't hear you, Carol. I'm sorry. This is Mrs. Figlock, is that right? All right. We're praying for her as she needs a pacemaker and an ablation, and has a lot of physical needs, but she's a junior high math teacher. All right. So, all right. Anybody else tonight with a prayer request before we go to prayer? All right, Garland? Remember John and Tennille, numbers of prospects, had a family call from Ontario, Canada today looking to move in this area for church and questions about the church. And so just lots and lots of people that we're working with, and we need your prayers and wisdom and that they can grow in their faith or come to know Christ. I would give you a prayer request 2 years ago, I scheduled a revival that begins this coming Sunday out in all places, Iowa. Like, why Iowa? Be out with a pastor friend of ours, you know, Brother Decker, Travis Decker, and be preaching Sunday through Friday of next week. And I would just covet your prayers for that ministry and the opportunity to maybe be a blessing to that church. And have felt quite a bit of pressure related to going into that, and need my mind clear to have the mind of God to preach the messages that I should. And so I would ask for your prayers for our safety. We leave Friday morning, and we'll be back the following, be back before the next Sunday. But please be in prayer for that. Let's go to prayer. You take these requests and praises to the Lord, and I will too. Close out our prayer time tonight. Lord, we're thankful that, Lord, it doesn't just have to be once a week in midweek service. But, Lord, we're thankful we could talk to you throughout this day. Thank you, Lord, that we could pray on things that you put on our hearts today to pray about. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can leave these things at the throne. And, Lord, know that you won't forget about them. Lord, some of the things that we mentioned tonight, we might forget about before the end of the week. But, Lord, you're not a forgetful God. And, Lord, you remember these things. You remember the burdens shared. Lord, you'll remember the praises given to you tonight. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that when we talk to you, Lord, you take full interest and full attention on, Lord, what we're talking to you about. And, Lord, we thank you for that tonight. We pray for our dear friend Gina over in Africa. And, Lord, we pray that you will meet her needs. Lord, they don't have much water over there. They don't have much electric over there. Lord, she's dealing with a vehicle that she can't seem to find the part for to get fixed. And Lord, when we bear back-to-back and heavy things, Lord, we ask for relief, Lord. We ask that you will lift some of these burdens in her life. We pray that you give her rest for her soul as she goes to rest this evening, even as she's resting now. We focus in on prayer for her tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Acts 2, verse 47, we're back to the lessons on Baptist distinctives, and we're dealing with a saved church membership. We've dealt with the Bible as our sole authority for faith and practice. We've dealt with the autonomy of the local church, the fact that a church is self-governing. We've dealt with the priesthood of the believer. We are priests before God, and there are responsibilities that we have as priests. We've dealt with the two offices of the church, pastor and deacon. We've dealt with individual soul liberty, and now we deal with saved church membership. When we believe in a saved church membership, we're saying that we believe in church membership first, that this is not a loosey-goosey thing. I'm going to show that to you tonight from the scriptures. And then that church membership has requirements, biblical requirements. In other words, it's just not anybody that comes into church membership. I think I shared with you a church that brought a bunch of people in, but they were not doctrinally taught. And when they got to the pastor leaving and bringing in a new pastor, there are a whole bunch of people that didn't want the guy screened doctrinally and believed different doctrines and wanted him to believe different doctrines than what the church believed. And so it's important. It's really, really important that they're saved church members. And with that, we're in Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The bottom line is those who are granted membership in a church must provide a clear testimony of having been born again, of having been saved. Currently in our church, a person must give a verbal testimony of salvation to the congregation when they present themselves for church membership and of baptism by immersion after salvation. Why is this stressed? Why do we take time to work to be thorough as we can be in these areas? Because the Bible teaches that somebody ought to be saved and baptized in order to become a member of a Bible-believing church. Turn to Acts chapter 2, or you're there in Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Masters wrote, it is obvious the New Testament church was a defined circle of people that could be received into the church or put out of the church. These were received into the church when they were saved and baptized. They were added unto them. That means there was already a defined group in the church. And when these 3,000 souls got saved and baptized, they were added to that defined group, the 120 that we learned about earlier in Acts chapter number 1. And so the biblical reasons for a saved church membership. New Testament church life is dependent upon the idea of membership. When we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we walk, when we teach new members class on this, we walk through these verses. We take time to teach and explain these verses. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And it goes on to say, but God now has set the members in the body, speaking of the local church. And so membership implies more than just simple association or even assembly. You know, right now in our church on Sunday mornings, we have people coming that are not saved. Now, should we not have people coming that are not saved? No, we should. But you need to understand, they're not part of the church. The church is called out assembly of baptized believers. That's what the church is. Members that have been saved and baptized. In Acts chapter 3, when they were to look out among the church, they said, look ye out among you, speaking to the church, seven men of honest report. Among you, in contrast to those that are outside of you. In other words, they knew who the among you were. The among you was defined when they were looking for leaders to handle some of the needs of the church at that time. And so I want to say this tonight. The church membership is voluntary, but it's not biblically optional. In other words, it is a voluntary step of commitment, but to live without that and say, well, you know, I just don't really want to commit. I think I'm just going to be a tender. That doesn't follow the biblical New Testament pattern. Doesn't line up with the biblical New Testament pattern. And I don't know what holds people back from membership. Sometimes I've talked with people. I ask them, what is holding you back from becoming a member of the church? Agree with the doctrine. Saved, baptized, and I'm committing to God and I'm committing to the body. That's church membership. Why don't you want to do that? I don't understand that. I don't understand that in the heart of a believer that understands the teaching about the local church. I don't understand why they don't want to become a member. What's holding them back? It's voluntary, but it's not biblically optional. That we are to be members. Acts chapter 9, verse 26. Turn to Acts chapter 9 and verse 26. Well, preacher, I don't want to jump in too quick. You know, I just kind of like to be around for a while and kind of check this thing out. Well, the way you check a church out is you come, you hear the preaching of God's word, you take a look at the doctrinal statement. Does the doctrinal statement line up with Scripture? These are believers. They're following the Lord. They have Baptist distinctives, biblical distinctives, in my area, this is the local church that God's led me to, I think I'll join it. That's what ought to happen. That ought to be the step that we take. In Acts chapter 9, verse 26, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, by the way, this guy was not a seasoned believer. How do you know that, preacher? Well, they were scared of him. The believers were scared of him. He didn't have a testimony of 10 years of being a believer and transferring from another church. He just got saved. But what happened in his heart? Look what it says. He essayed to join himself to the disciples. There was a heart move in Paul's heart. I I shouldn't be outside of a local body. Like, part of my spiritual life now is to be with the disciples, to assemble with the disciples and be committed to those local disciples in Jerusalem. So what happened? He sought to join. Now, the disciples in Jerusalem were a little bit, man, this guy just killed some of our guys not too long ago. What's he doing here? Right? And I don't know that the Bible is exalting that attitude, but it is exalting that Paul essayed to join himself to the church. And so the membership of the church, Acts chapter 2, they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Interesting, the church is counting heads and keeping records in Acts chapter 2. They knew who the members were. And, you know, if you haven't become a member, I want to challenge you from the scriptures. I want to challenge you to take that step. I just had two people talk to me on the way out of church on two Sundays ago. Preacher, can we get together and talk about membership? Absolutely. That's exciting. That's believers following the pattern of the New Testament. And so in the scriptures, there's a lot of talk about the church. If you searched in a Strong's and you searched the phrase the church, it's defined the church. The Bible defines the church. Saul wreaked havoc on the church before he was saved. They gathered as the church. And so reasons for church membership. The audience of the epistles is a strong argumentation for this. Paul wrote to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now let me ask you a question. How do you outwardly see faithfulness in somebody else's life? You see a lot of it in relationship to the church, don't you? What is the relationship to the church? That oftentimes is where we can see on the outside somebody's faithful. They're committed or they're not committed. They're unfaithful. Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says to the faithful in Christ Jesus, to the saints which are at Ephesus. Those saints that were part of that church, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi. You see this pattern of, he's not talking to a region, he's talking to the faithful saints at the church in that city. That's pretty defined to me. That's pretty clear to me. So we see the audience of the epistle. Secondly, we see the duties of the pastor. The duties of the pastor. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. While you're turning there, if we went to 1 Peter chapter 5, you would find them saying, feed the flock which is among you. You know where my strongest commitment is as a pastor? It's to the membership. It's to the people that have committed themselves. That is the flock of the church. I'm to be feeding that flock. There's a duty to that. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. What saints? Saints in the local church. He's writing to the church at Ephesus. They would understand that's us. Pastor's work is to perfect us, is to work with us. In the duty of the pastors points to this saved church membership. A saint is not defined like the Catholic Church defines saints. A saint is a called out one. It's a separated one unto the Lord. It is a believer, right? And so the duty of the pastor. Did you know there can be no orderly oversight of a nation without people becoming proper citizens? How do you have oversight of people in your country that are not citizens? We're running into a little bit of that problem in America, by the way. There can be no oversight of an army without enlisted soldiers. Let's say that Wyatt and Will and some of our young men here, they decided to go over to or go down to one of the boot camps and show up and say, hey, I'd like to be part of what you guys are doing today. And they're going to look at them and say, well, you need to get enlisted. Go talk to a recruiter. And then you'll be part. Why? Because there's orderliness, right? They can't provide oversight without them making commitment that I'm part of this. Why do we look at the local church and think that that's different? Like we can all live loose relationship to the church and that's no problem. No. The Bible, the duty of the pastor is related to this important role of church membership. Thirdly, reasons for church membership tonight, save church membership, the prohibition of uniting believers and unbelievers together. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Brethren, can I tell you, there's a lot of believers in local churches that are weak on the teaching and the doctrines of the local church. And all I'm trying to do is say, hey man, the Bible's got a lot to say about this. A lot to say about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he believeth with an infidel? I consider a membership as we're yoking together. We are committed together for the cause of the glory of God, for the evangelism of the lost, for the discipleship of the believers, for the building of a family according to the dictates of the Word of God, for the defending of the doctrines and the truth, to be the pillar and ground of the truth. We're united. If a church doesn't believe that saved is important as part of their membership, how do we unite believers and unbelievers together in the context of church membership? That's a problem, big, big problem. And that's going to pose a church problem down the road. And so I think that's important that we see that. Secondly, I want you to see this. As much as we want to screen and try to do our due diligence in helping to see that people genuinely understand the gospel, they've been saved, they've been baptized with biblical understanding, they understand the doctrines, we also have to deal with the reality of tares among wheat, don't we? I mean, as much as we can screen, I can't see a heart. Turn over your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Of course, these are the kingdom parables. The Bible speaks here. In verse 24, it says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? It is critical that we remember that our efforts at maintaining the purity of the membership rules are always conditioned by some kind of disclaimer that to the degree that we are able or as much as possible, we're going to screen people, we're going to talk to them about their salvation. And sometimes I'm talking with leaders and they're working with somebody and they're saying, pastor, I'm not sure that this person understands salvation. And we have try to have a Bible study and I'll spend an hour sometimes, hour and a half, talking through what clear biblical salvation is. Why is that? Because as much as possible, we want to guard against tares. And yet the Bible says that tares grow among the wheat. In a congregation of our size on a Sunday morning, 220-ish, 230-ish people, it's very possible that there are tares. What are tares, preacher? They're people that look, act, smell, talk like Christians. But they're not. They're people that profess, but they don't possess. Recently, somebody asked me, he said, pastor, I'm dealing with somebody that, you know, said they had Christ years ago, but they've left Christ, they deny that there's a God and all of that. And I said, and they said, do you think they lost their salvation? I said, no, I don't think they ever had it. You cannot lose your salvation. You cannot say, I profess, and now I don't profess. You either have Christ and you have the Spirit forever in your life, or you don't have it and it shows up, and eventually the signs of the tares come to the surface. Now, they may not come to the surface in our lifetime, but the truth of the matter is there's the reality in churches all over this country today and throughout church history that there are tares that are among the wheat. What should that cause all of us to do once in a while? Examine our faith. Personally, examine our faith. Many passages on that. Examine whether you be in the faith. I'm never here to talk somebody out of their salvation. I've heard preachers that have that, almost that tone, like, I'm going to try to shake you out of your salvation. I don't think that's the way we should preach. But I do think that we should preach Matthew chapter 7. Some will say in that day, Lord, I never knew you. I do think we should preach 2 Peter chapter 1. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And 1 Corinthians deals with that as well. It is wise for us to re-examine our faith, whether we are in the faith, have a Bible testimony of salvation. That's a healthy thing. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5 deals with that. What are the biblical results of saved church membership tonight? There are reasons for church membership, saved church membership. What are the biblical results? Number one, agreement. Agreement. That's a wonderful thing. I'm glad that I can talk about the doctrine of the King James Version and the inspiration and infallibility of scriptures and not feel like a stranger in my church or get criticism about it in my church. I'm glad that I can talk about the gospel, the pure gospel, deal with repentance and faith, and somebody not look at me cockeyed and like, where did you get that? There's agreement. That's wonderful. Hey, if you're a member of Mount Zion Baptist Church tonight, you ought to thank the Lord that there's a bunch of other people that you're in agreement with. There's unity. There's common. There's like-mindedness. That brings sweetness to fellowship when we have that. And so, again, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Zero. But when we walk with the Lord, when we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Fellowship's communion. Fellowship's agreement. That's a wonderful thing that God says about the church. In the early church, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Boy, what did they know the church as in Acts, the beginning church in Jerusalem? They were close. They were not easily broken apart. They stayed together. They continued in one accord daily. They were comforted together in Romans chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that church was not, was it? There were divisions. And Paul prayed. He said that ye all speak the same thing. What was he praying for that carnal church? Oh, that they would be in the same direction, that they would all speak the same thing, that there would be that agreement that the Bible talks about in a local church setting. Their labors together, standing fast in one spirit. These words are in our Bible, speaking of the results of church membership, a saved church membership. And so, I want to challenge you tonight. I want to challenge you to stay of the same mind as a church. That can be difficult at times. There are things that come up, aren't there? There are differences that come up from time to time. But can I remind you to remember, if you're struggling with someone tonight, that there's a bunch that we agree on. And run to those things. And be of the same mind, one toward another. I want to encourage you tonight, if you're not a member of the church, to pursue it. To say, you know what? In the Bible, this is clear. There's reasons for saved church membership. It was a defined group in the New Testament. It was not just everybody kind of doing their own thing, kind of floating around, church hopping over here, church hopping over here. No, no, no. The church at, the saints that are at this city. The saints that are at Mount Zion Baptist Church. I want to encourage you in that. If everybody takes a loosey-goosey approach, and we're all just attenders, and we don't commit to anything, you're not going to have a church that has any strong commitments to much. You're not going to have ministries. You're not going to be able to have much without members that are committed. The strength of Mount Zion over the years is people have said, I'm going to be a member. I'm going to forge forward with this body of believers. And God looks down on that, and he says, that's exactly my plan. You're fulfilling my will in that way. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the Lord teachings, Lord, the instruction. We thank you for what we see in the scriptures. We thank you that you are adding to our church. Lord, I thank you for the members that have been joining of late. And Lord, there are more. I believe there are more that you want to set in this body. I pray, Lord, that you'll help all of us to be of the same mind. Lord, that there will be agreement, that we will work together. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would be honored in our church. We pray we would do it the right way. Lord, that we would please you, Lord, in our services, and Lord, in our work, and in our fellowship with each other. Lord, we pray that you would get glory in our church. Lord, thank you for the membership here. I pray all of us, Lord, would re-examine our faith. Lord, that we make sure we're in the faith. I pray, Lord, that we would recommit ourselves to the commitments we made as members, that we wouldn't get sloppy in those commitments. Lord, we thank you for a saved church membership. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. God bless you. Have a great week. And if there's a need that we can help meet, please give us a call. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.